We're going to read together this morning from 2 Corinthians chapter 6 from verse 14. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness, and what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. And may the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. In case you have not heard, just this week, Dr. Billy Graham, who's often referred to as America's pastor, died. I want to pass on today some comments about that. There was a statement, first of all, issued by the American Council of Christian Churches upon the passing of Billy Graham. Our church is a member of the American Council of Christian Churches. So I want to read the statement in full. The death of Billy Graham at the age of 99 is the passing of one of the most well-known religious figures of the last 100 years in America. From every conceivable source, praise is flowing for a figure who seems universally admired and whose life seems to be remembered as an uninterrupted march of faithful Christian testimony. His books are numerous, and his public appearances at various evangelistic crusades during his long career made Billy Graham a figure whose voice and physical presence commanded ready recognition around the world. We add our condolences to the members of the Graham family as they mourn the death of one who was dear to them. But like the displays of the Billy Graham Library and Museum in Charlotte, North Carolina, the extensive reviews of Graham's long life and career reveal significant omissions of key events that suggest that Billy Graham was also a powerful threat to the historic orthodoxy and separatist practice of biblical Christianity. As demonstrated in the 1957 publication, A Ministry of Disobedience, a publication to which some members of the ACCC contributed, Graham's introduction of ecumenical compromise into evangelism, seen in the decision to open his crusades to sponsorship by liberal and modernist Protestant ministerial associations, beginning with the New York Crusade in 1957, showed that he was in lockstep with the recently named religious strategy of the New Evangelicalism. Graham's early career during the post-World War II years reflected the influence he felt from leading fundamentalists from the first half of the 20th century. As late as 1950, Graham's television broadcast, Hour of Decision, staged one of its programs in the newly constructed facilities of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. Dr. Bob Jones Jr., then the president of the university, appeared as a special guest in that program. During the 1950s, as Graham's appeal grew, he moved toward the strategic decision to make his crusades organization teams more diverse ecclesiastically, leading to the 1957 New York Crusade, in which well-known modernists appeared on the crusade platform to receive Graham's recognition of them as Christian brothers. In Reforming Fundamentalism, George Marsden observed that Graham's new approach was cooperation with a group that was predominantly non-evangelical and even included out-and-out modernists. It also meant sending converts back to their local churches, no matter how liberal those churches might be, unquote. And that's from Reforming Fundamentalism, Fuller Seminary, and the New Evangelicalism. For many fundamentalists, this was the step after which they were not willing to support Graham any longer. Bob Jones Jr. and his father Bob Jones Sr., a leading evangelist of the first half of the 20th century, along with other fundamentalist leaders, rebuked Graham's compromise openly and publicly and announced that they must separate from him. The American Council of Christian Churches joined in that separation and observed the great harm that Graham's new evangelical approach was bound to cause in the field of evangelism and in the ranks of churches that continued to preach the Bible. Some predicted that Graham would prove to be one of the most destructive and divisive forces in the history of American evangelicalism. His message appeared to remain the same, but as the years passed, his crusades began to introduce more elements of the popular culture, and Graham himself began to speak of greater cooperation with a whole array of what he called Christian denominations, including Roman Catholics. Eventually, he widened his view to include full-blown syncretism. In a May 1997 interview with Dr. Robert Schuller on Schuller's Hour of Power television program, Graham agreed with Schuller's view that people could be saved without any reference to the name of Christ at all. During the years that followed the 1957 watershed decision, events continued to vindicate predictions by fundamentalists that Graham's approach to evangelism was going to lead to increasing accommodations to liberal Protestantism and to blurring of the lines that separate Protestantism from Roman Catholicism. In receiving an honorary degree in 1967 from Belmont Abbey College, a Roman Catholic institution near Graham's North Carolina home, the evangelist said of the gospel, quote, "That gospel has founded this school. That gospel has brought me here tonight," unquote. 2 years earlier, the executive vice president of the college, Cuthbert Allen, wrote, quote, "Billy Graham is preaching a moral evangelical theology most acceptable to Catholics," unquote. The legacy that the late Dr. Graham has left is an evangelical movement bereft of any unyielding theological moorings. By embracing the strategy of compromise with those who denied the faith of the Scriptures, he, like his new evangelical colleagues, did not influence the liberals to a more biblical position. Instead, the liberals dragged Graham farther and farther from the message with which he began his ministry. Therefore, the American Council of Churches, while joining in expressing sympathy to Dr. Graham's family on the occasion of his death, must remain steadfast in defense of the faith by urging the rejection of Billy Graham's compromising strategy and the repudiation of his legacy of vacillation that has provided encouragement to those who despise the truth of the gospel as we find it in the Scriptures. We resolve to remain true to the position to which our Lord has called us, to come out from among those who refuse the truth and to be separated unto Jesus Christ. That is the statement from the American Council of Christian Churches with which I fully concur. I've done quite a bit of research over the last couple of days, mostly in relation to the comments that are being made by various people about Dr. Graham. My research into Dr. Graham's history, all of the different things that he has done through the years, was already pretty extensive because I happen to have a book which is now out of print, long since. It was first published in 1970 and republished by Bob Jones University Press in 1972, entitled Billy Graham and the Church of Rome, written by a one Dr. Ian R. K. Paisley. It's a very, very extensive treatment of the life and ministry of Dr. Billy Graham. On the front cover of that book, there is a picture of Billy Graham receiving the honorary doctorate from Belmont Abbey Roman Catholic College. So I'm very well clued in as regards what Billy Graham was all about. But I've been looking at some of the statements being made by various individuals and organizations since Dr. Graham's passing. I found this article by a converted Protestant, one Stephen Gray Dennis. This article is taken from the National Catholic Register, a service of EWTN, if you know what that is. It's a Roman Catholic television station, propaganda machine. He wrote an article entitled Billy Graham, R.I.P., which of course is a Roman Catholic designation, one that Protestants should not use, that Christians should not use, because it's a prayer. It's a prayer for the dead. Rest in peace. Well, if someone has already gone to be with the Lord, you don't need to say rest in peace, because that person is already in the presence of Christ. And if the person who died is not a believer, there's absolutely no way that they will rest in peace. Billy Graham, R.I.P. An ecumenical reflection from a Catholic perspective on the celebrated evangelist's life and ministry on the occasion of his death at age 99 by Stephen Gray Dennis. This is what he wrote. Although I never saw Billy Graham, he had a profound influence on my life. Both of my parents saw him a number of times in 1957 at Madison Square Garden and other venues, and went forward in his altar calls. My father calls that experience a spiritual turning point in his life. My mother has called Graham her spiritual father. Both of my parents are now Catholic. Graham was one of a very few Christian leaders, along with Fulton Sheen and Pope John Paul II, who could be said to belong not just to one communion, but to Christians of many stripes, who could speak to Christians past sectarian lines and to the larger world in some measure on behalf of the Christian world. Martin Luther King Jr., Archbishop Fulton Sheen, and Boston's Cardinal Richard Cushing were among his close friends. He met then Father Sheen on a train in 1944 when the celebrity priest knocked on the door of his compartment as he was going to sleep, and the two chatted and prayed together. He met Cardinal Cushing in 1950 after the words "Bravo, Billy" appeared on the cover of the Boston Pilot in support of one of Graham's campaigns. Graham later said Cushing's support changed the way he saw Catholics. Though originally fearful of Catholics, Graham began building bridges with Catholics in the 1950s, at a time when this was a hazardous move for a Southern Baptist, despite all that had been done by Sheen, the only other person besides Graham who could be called America's pastor, to tamp down American anti-Catholicism, aided by Bing Crosby's Father O'Malley, among other popular Golden Age Catholic-themed icons. Still, there was still a very strong sense among many devout fundamentalists and evangelicals that Catholics were less than fully Christian, if not worse. Even today, anti-Catholic fundamentalists excoriate Graham for allowing Romish influence to compromise the purity of his gospel. Whenever he travelled, Graham worked with local churches. In fact, he wouldn't hold a crusade in a given area unless he was invited by a majority of area churches, including eventually Catholic churches. Those who responded to his altar calls, he put in touch with local pastors, including Catholic priests, to continue their discipleship. His mission was to promote Jesus Christ, not a particular Christian sect or even Protestantism over Catholicism. In Just As I Am, the autobiography of Billy Graham, Graham describes how one of his team members would, quote, call on the local Catholic bishop or other clerics to acquaint them with crusade plans and invite them to the meetings. They would usually appoint a priest to attend and report back. This was years before Vatican II's openness to Protestants, but we were concerned to let the Catholic bishops see that my goal was not to get people to leave their church. Rather, I wanted them to commit their lives to Christ. Page 163 of Just As I Am, the autobiography of Billy Graham. This is the response of a man who now calls himself a converted Protestant. He's a Roman Catholic. Of course, Billy Graham met John Paul II a number of times. He held him in great esteem. And this same article, the National Catholic Register, recorded that when the Pope died, John Paul II, Graham called him, quote, unquestionably the most influential voice for morality and peace in the world during the last 100 years. I said I've been researching some of the articles, some of the statements that have been made. I received, when I was in the United Kingdom, on a monthly basis, the Catholic Herald. They didn't send it directly to me. A friend of mine used to get it for me, so that I could see what was going on, what was being said, and so on and so forth. Keeping up with religious news, if you like. I found online this week the Catholic Herald. It recorded that the Archbishop of New York, Cardinal Timothy Dolan, has paid tribute to preacher Billy Graham, who died at the age of 99. This is what Dolan said. As anyone growing up in the 1950s and 1960s can tell you, it was hard not to notice and be impressed by the Reverend Billy Graham, Cardinal Dolan said. There was no question that the Dolans were a Catholic family, firm in our faith, but in our household there was always respect and admiration for Billy Graham and the work he was doing to bring people to God. Whether it was one of his famous crusades, radio programs, television specials, or meeting and counseling the presidents, Billy Graham seemed to be everywhere, always with the same message, Jesus is your Savior and wants you to be happy with him forever. As an historian, my admiration for him only grew as I studied our nation's religious past and came to appreciate even more the tremendous role he played in the American evangelical movement. May the Lord that Billy Graham loved so passionately now grant him eternal rest. I say again, as I've often said in these types of situations, with friends like that, who needs enemies? I have found that among those expressing appreciation for Graham's ministry so far, they include the Southern Baptist Albert Moeller Jr., the charismatic Pat Robertson of the 700 Club, the charismatic TV preacher Kenneth Copeland. He's one who teaches that Jesus literally went to hell and was burned in the fires. Pastor Rick Warren of the Saddleback Church, he of the purpose-driven life, infamy, I'll call it. The Conference of American Catholic Bishops. Ken Ham of Answers in Genesis. Yes. Ray Comfort, evangelist. One who, by the way, spends a lot of his time excoriating those who go in for false professions and superficial conversions, but praises Billy Graham. Jonathan Falwell of Liberty University, no surprise there, the son of the founder of the Moral Majority, Jerry Falwell. And Dr. Steve Pettit of Bob Jones University. In a Fox News interview with Laura Ingram, who is a devout Roman Catholic herself, Rick Warren said of his crusades that Billy Graham's attitude was, quote, everybody's got to be at the table. Catholics and Calvinists, he put on the stage, And he put Protestants and Pentecostals, and he put, charismatics and evangelicals and fundamentalists. And they were all there. And some people got mad at that. But he said, I'm not coming unless there's unity. Now, folks, it grieves me to have to read that list of people, especially the last mentioned one. I was just listening yesterday to a 15-minute radio broadcast done by our brother, Reverend David DeCanio, in Liberia, in which he referenced the whole Billy Graham controversy. He included in that program an excerpt from an interview that he did with Dr. Robert Schuller of the Glass Cathedral infamy, in which Schuller expressed the same ideas that Graham had expressed to him. And it's available, by the way, on YouTube, that interview that Graham did with Schuller some years ago, in which he expressed the view that people could be saved without ever hearing the name of Jesus. Now, folks, my Bible says, how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? That's what the Bible says. I don't care what Billy Graham thought or said, or Robert Schuller said. That's what the Bible says. And is it not ironic that that was Billy's most commonly used phrase? The Bible says. As I've often pointed out, just because a man prefaces his remarks with the Bible says, doesn't mean that everything he says after that is what the Bible says. Billy Graham has a long history of compromise with the Church of Rome. In 1948, Billy Graham was on record as saying the three gravest menaces faced by Orthodox Christianity are communism, Roman Catholicism, and Mohammedanism, Islam. He was right, of course. But he changed. He changed radically and drastically. Billy Graham said as early as 1957, anyone who makes a decision at our meetings is referred to a local clergyman, Protestant, Catholic, or Jewish. Billy Graham's history of compromise is well documented. But there are many today, including evangelical Christians, that are saying nice things about America's pastor after his passing at 99 years of age. I would say, just as the ACCC statement points out, there's always sympathy with a family that has lost a loved one. And there are people, of course, who will say, well, this is not the right time to be speaking about such things. My question would be to such people, when is the right time to speak about such things? Would it be okay a month from now? 6 months from now? You know, folks, this is a teaching moment. Because, frankly, there are a lot of people who really don't know much about Billy Graham. They just know the name. But he's been off their radar for a couple of decades because of age and infirmity. So for a lot of people, if you'll excuse the pun, the Billy Graham issue is a dead issue. But I want to tell you, it's not. Because Billy Graham's impact is still being felt in America and in other countries as well. And it's very important to point out that there's a lot of things not being said about Dr. Graham and his ministry that need to be said. Because in spite of the eloquent and often powerful gospel messages that he preached, especially in early days, and those who frankly may have been truly converted to Christ through him, it would be entirely wrong to overlook and fail to condemn the compromise with false religion that was the hallmark of Billy's evangelistic efforts. Billy Graham, frankly, was the friend of Rome. He was also the friend of communist dictators in the former Soviet Union. When he went there, way back in the early 80s, there were those who felt betrayed in the underground church in the USSR because he went there and preached in registered Baptist churches, churches that were run by the KGB, churches that had been given a stamp of approval by the Soviet regime because they said the things that they wanted them to say. Billy Graham betrayed his Christian brethren. He was the friend of liberal theologians, men like Ockenge. And he allowed those friendships to poison his ministry. Therefore, I would say that the damage that Billy Graham did to true evangelistic efforts by other people, particularly missionaries seeking to reach Roman Catholics in Roman Catholic countries, that damage cannot be underestimated, nor can it be overstated, and nor should it be overlooked just because he has now passed away. I have a whole list of things that I can provide you with by way of illustrations of Billy Graham's compromise through the years. As I say, it's well documented. I have a number of publications that deal with the issue, including this particular one that was written many, many years ago, entitled Why We Cannot Support the Billy Graham Crusade. It was written by one E.L. Bynum. And on the front cover, there's this picture of Billy Graham receiving an honorary doctorate from Belmont Abbey College, a Roman Catholic institution in North Carolina. Every time I drive down Interstate 85 and I see the sign, Belmont Abbey College, at that exit, I think about Billy Graham. And I think of how he betrayed Christ by stating, and I quote, "The gospel that built this school and the gospel that I preach is still the power of God unto salvation." Well, I'm sorry, if the gospel that built that school was Billy Graham's gospel, that's not the gospel of the Bible. And that brings me to another publication that I dug out. It's available online, and I can certainly give you the source. There is a PDF file that's on sermonaudio.com that contains this particular article, very well written by Dr. Alan Cairns, former minister of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. It's entitled Billy Graham and His Bible. Dr. Cairns provides an able outline of why Dr. Graham's statement is so askew, because he begins with Dr. Graham declaring his gospel to be that of the Roman Catholic Church. And by the way, the source of that quotation, in case people think, oh, well, you know, these quotes float around, you don't really know if he said that or not. Well, I can tell you, he did say it. The Gastonia Gazette, November 22nd, 1967, speaking at the Roman Catholic Belmont Abbey College, North Carolina, Dr. Graham said, quote, "The gospel that built this school and the gospel that brings me here tonight is still the way to salvation." That's very plain. But furthermore, the then executive vice president of Belmont Abbey College, one Reverend Cuthbert E. Allen, agreed with Graham. This is what he said. "I have followed Billy Graham's career, and I must emphasize that he has been more Catholic than otherwise. Billy Graham is preaching a moral and evangelical theology most acceptable to Catholics," unquote. And that was recorded in a personal letter, a letter that's reproduced in the aforementioned book, Billy Graham and the Church of Rome. We don't have the time now to deal with Billy Graham's compromise in more detail, but I can tell you this. The gospel, according to the Church of Rome, is not the gospel that the Apostle Paul preached. It's not the gospel of the Bible. It's another gospel. And it's a sad, sad day when you have men who represent what have been historically fundamentalist institutions speak in glowing, uncritical terms of the ministry of a man who Dr. Bob Jones Jr. many years ago declared was the most dangerous man in evangelicalism. The Bible has not changed. It says in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 16 and 17, "And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." And verse 18 says, "And will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. May the Lord help us to be courageous in standing for His truth, whatever other men may say. Amen.